You may be seated this morning. I just want to take a second to recognize in the balcony Patrick on the sound and one of our youth, Rachel Reisecker, running the slides. I tell you, some mornings at 8 o'clock, Dave and I try to run the slides from a clicker, and it's so much better with her doing it, I can tell you that. So thank you guys so much for your hard work. Welcome this morning to Conyers First Methodist. We are so glad that you are here with us, especially to those who are watching on Facebook Live. We are so glad that you are worshiping with us wherever you may be. We appreciate you. We feel your presence here. God transcends space and time, and we are connected as one body for sure this morning. Last week, we started a series called Church Words, and we looked at the word epiphany. And Dave, you know, he hit a home run with these star words. It's been all the buzz. What word did you get? And essentially, Dave helped us to see that epiphany is not so much that we have this epiphany, like we figure something out, but it's becoming aware of what's already there, right? The presence of God is always there. And so the epiphany is us becoming aware of His presence. The star was in the sky, and the wise men become aware of the star. These words, they may be words that you are very familiar with, or maybe you've not seen it in forever. I don't know, maybe it's like a SAT word that you studied at one time and you never went back to it. I don't know how deep you got in the word list there. But the point of last week and as we move through these church words is to give us an opportunity to reconnect. Maybe it's a word that you're reconnecting with in your life and it means something to you, and maybe God is revealing to you through that epiphany it for your life. And so I pray that in that same spirit we move forward this week in speaking with baptism. This is something that it's definitely a church word, right? You don't typically hear people speaking of baptism in math lectures and things like that, but baptism is a very churchy word. And so I want to look at it, and I'm hoping in the same way that epiphany kind of has made us to see what is that sometimes maybe we're not looking at, or maybe reconnected to something that we once knew but had drifted from. I hope this morning that God will do the same with us through baptism. There are many different ways to do baptism, many different thoughts on baptism, traditions on baptism. And so this morning, to set up my sermon, I wanted to play a clip and kind of let it set the foundation of probably an American concept of baptism this morning.
Oh, mothers, let's go down. Come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down.
Well, I guess hard times flush the chump. Everybody's looking for answers. Go ahead.
Studying about that good old land. The starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down.
They'll mark been saved.
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting's my reward.
Delbert, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo.
I thought you said you was innocent of those charges.
Well, I was lying. And the preacher said that sin's been washed away too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
So baptism. This clip is funny, and it's probably one of the funniest movies that I've ever seen. It's just a great movie, but it's funny, and Delmar's theology is terrible. But there's some truth that we can draw from it. But as we talk about baptism in light of this clip, I think it's important that we first talk about what baptism is not. The preacher did not save Delmar by baptizing him, right? The being baptized is not salvation. We don't believe that the act of baptism is what saves our soul or redeems us. We believe that's through the blood of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and our confession and accepting that for our lives. And so for Delmar, you know, and he finds out later on in the movie when he's arrested that, you know, the state of Mississippi doesn't necessarily see things the same way God sees things. But for him, you know, as funny as that is, there's also a lot of truth in this. We see his response to the water, the baptism. We see his response to being a part of the sacrament of baptism. He runs into the water. He's baptized. He's shaking the preacher. And then I love what he says at the end, right? Come on in, boys. The water's fine. And there's something about the water of baptism. There's something about this sacrament of baptism. It is sacred. It is special. It connects us to God's grace. And so this morning, for many of you, this will be a refresher, but like I said, just like with last week, I pray that what God allows us to do is to reconnect to something that maybe we haven't visited in a long time, or maybe we've drifted away from it. Maybe we have no recollection of it, you know. As good Methodists, maybe a lot of you were baptized as infants, and you don't remember your baptism. All you've seen is, you know, if you're a boy, it was a picture of you in a white dress and a bonnet, and that's as far back as you can go with baptism. So my hope for this morning is that we can revisit baptism. And the United Methodist Church, we believe that baptism marks the beginning of our journey as disciples of Christ. And this morning I want to set this principle up by looking at a passage of Scripture out of Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we believe that baptism is a beginning. If you know the story of Jesus, you know that he goes to the Jordan River. John baptizes him. Almost immediately, the Spirit leads him in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. He comes through the temptation, and the Bible says Jesus began his public ministry. And so, for Jesus, baptism was very much a beginning for him. He had been raised by his mom and dad, you know, a good little Jewish boy. He probably was doing an apprenticeship with his dad, learning the skill of carpentry. But for Jesus, being baptized, going to John, he even tells John, I must do what God requires, right? Is a beginning. It's a beginning. And so for us as United Methodists, we view it as a beginning. And we baptize because just like with Jesus and John here, God, we believe, requires it. If you go to the end of Matthew in chapter 28, it's what we call the Great Commission. Jesus has been crucified. He is resurrected from the dead. He's made himself known. And now he is going to be ascending into heaven. And so his disciples are there. And he's given his final words before they go out and start the church. And what does he tell them to do? He says, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So baptism, the reason we baptize, the reason we do this, the reason little baby boys get dressed up in white dresses and bonnets is because Jesus tells us to do it. It's for that reason that we hold it in high esteem as a sacrament, along with Holy Communion. We believe that through the mystery of God, His grace is made known to us through baptism, through the sacrament. And so for us in the church, One of the reasons that you may see babies baptized is because we take very seriously that it is the beginning of a journey. We don't want to wait till a child is 17 years old to say, oh, there's something we haven't told you guys about yet. We want to tell you about Jesus, right? We want to tell them when they're young, early on. And so when we bring a child to be baptized, the church and the parents and the family, we are committing together to tell this child about Jesus, to raise them to know Jesus. John Wesley called this the prevenient grace of God. Before the child is even aware of God, His grace through the church and through many different ways is there in that child's life. Maybe you weren't baptized as a child. Maybe you were baptized as a teenager or a kid or maybe an adult. God's grace was chasing you. God's grace was there when you were baptized. It was there before you were baptized. Just like last week, God's presence and the epiphany of knowing it's there. This thing about baptism is all about grace. God's grace pursuing you, warning you. I told the earlier services that when I was a kid, I was a pastor's kid. I grew up, I was deep in church. I mean, youth camp, all, you know, every summer of my life, and I didn't grow up Methodist, and so I wasn't baptized as an infant. And a lot of times I would hear people tell stories about how they remember the date and the time that they were baptized, the date and time they were saved, you know, these things. And sometimes I felt like, you know, because I was raised a good Christian, boy, I was cheated out of all of those memories, because, you know, I don't remember the first time I heard about Jesus. And this is kind of a funny story, but when I was a kid at youth camp, you know, the boys, we had it figured out. Like, we would get saved and get in the pool first because we were getting baptized. And so, guys, I wish I could tell you this morning that I can pinpoint the one thing, but as a kid, I got baptized a lot of times. But it wasn't until I was older that I understood the sacredness of it. And it's to prevent those types of things that in the United Methodist Church that we don't endorse or practice re-baptism, because it can take away from the significance of it. But so as a child, you know, maybe you can connect with me. Maybe you grew up outside the Methodist Church, and, you know, maybe you got baptized like Delmar in a river back behind some country church, or maybe you got baptized at a swimming pool at youth camp, or maybe you were an adult and you remember your baptism vividly because it was a moment in your life. I know I looked down here and all three of you, or two of you, were baptized not long ago right here at the altar. And what a great Sunday that was. But for all of us, baptism is a beginning. It is a beginning. It is also a sign of the covenant. What covenant? Well, in the Bible, God is all about covenants. You know, if we look in our hymnals, if we have a baptismal service, we turn to the baptismal covenant, right? And so, in the Old Testament, we see covenants all over the place. God makes a covenant with Noah after the earth is flooded. God makes a covenant with Abraham. And as Jesus sits down with his disciples at the Last Supper and he takes the cup, he says, "This is my blood of what? A new covenant." And so we believe in the United Methodist Church that baptism is a sign of our participation, our cooperation with that covenant. It's a sign of God's grace that is saying that we are living into, leaning into this covenant that God has made with us through the blood of His Son. And so it's important, we believe, to be baptized because it is that public display that you are stepping into this covenant with God. Now, we don't believe that if you're not baptized, you're gonna die and go to hell. And, you know, we don't want to give baptism something that it is not. But we believe it's important to be baptized. And we encourage that you baptize your children, because we want to start as early as possible as raising them, molding them, shaping them for the journey ahead. And so baptism is a sign made with us. And as you may know, and you saw in the clip, baptism involves water, right? It involves water. When I used to, when I was a children's pastor at my last church, I had this clip that I would always show the kids before we did a baptism, and it was this little boy who, like, I don't know what got onto him, but he just jumps into the baptismal pool before the pastor can get to him. And it's like, this is not what you're going to do, guys. You know, this is not how to do it. But so there's all kinds of ideas and things about baptism. But the point is, and the church, for the most part, as a whole, agrees baptism is important. It is a milestone in our lives. It is when God's grace becomes tangible. So how does God's grace become tangible? It becomes tangible through the water, right? If you look at Scripture, water is a powerful thing. In Genesis, in the beginning, it says that the Spirit of God hovered over what? The water of the earth. And then you fast forward in Genesis, and mankind has become a wicked people. And so God sends a flood to wash away the unrighteousness. As the children of Israel are moving out of Egypt and leaving slavery, right? They cross through the Red Sea. And the water closes in behind them, signifying a new beginning. A new chapter. For the earth, after Noah's and the flood, it was a new beginning. In creation, a new beginning was taking place. Later, we find the children of Israel, and Moses, he 40 years later, he climbs on top of the mountain, and he sees the promised land, and then God takes him, and Joshua leads the children into the promised land. Once again, signifying a new beginning, they what? They cross over through a body of water. And then with Jesus and John the Baptist, he comes down and he meets with his cousin, and his cousin argues with him, I can't baptize you. But Jesus knew that his life was at a turning point. It was time to start heading to the cross. And that water was going to represent that new beginning, a new direction. The water is a very powerful symbolism for us today. For many, maybe your baptism in your mind, the water, it felt like the sins being washed away. Maybe you connect with the idea of water as Scripture being a new beginning. For all of us, when we go to take a shower, the water washes away the dirt and the grime of the day, and we come out clean. And so water becomes an essential part of baptism, because for us as Christians, water becomes the tangible, the thing that we can feel. God's grace becomes tangible for us through the sacrament. And it becomes tangible through water. We can feel it. Just like when we say, come, taste, and see, the bread and the wine, it becomes a tangible representation of God's grace to us. And in the same way, water is that for us through baptism. And so this morning you may be here and you may be saying to yourself, I've never been baptized at all. And if that's the case, then our pastor would love to speak with you. We would love to plan a baptism. We would love to publicly signal. Listen, you may be here and you know in your heart that you're a Christian, you follow God. This doesn't mean you haven't accepted Christ. We would love to celebrate with you in this public connecting into the covenant that God has made with you. You may be here this morning, you may be like me, you may have at points in your life struggled pinpointing the significance of your baptism in your life. Maybe you can't remember it. Maybe you can't point to that one moment. And maybe you look with a little bit of jealousy at people that it's so meaningful to. Maybe your baptism was very meaningful to you, but you have drifted away. Life happens. You get busy. And you've just simply forgotten what it meant to feel that water wash over you. This morning, we have prepared a special service here at the end. A remember your baptism. Now, we're not baptizing this morning and we're not re-baptizing. But what we are doing is we are going to give you the opportunity to come forward. Feel the tangible symbolism of God's grace. Feel the water again. Reconnect with something that maybe has been so far from you. And if you're here this morning and you've not been baptized yet, come and feel the water that you will be baptized with eventually. We invite you this morning to come. We have stones in here. What we're asking you to do is take the stone with you as a token to remember your baptism. In the early service, Cindy asked me, what are the stones about? I said, well, luckily we're not in the Old Testament, because it could be a very different type of service. But if you look in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel go through to the Promised Land, do you remember what they do? They take 12 stones out of the river, right? And they build a monument. And all throughout the Old Testament, if you've read it, God can be a very repetitive God, right? You'll read something and then 10 minutes later you read the exact thing again and then you read it again, especially with Moses and what to teach the people of Israel. And this is one of those things. They take the stones, they build the monument. Why? So they won't forget. They'll remember. So this morning, I invite you, as we have this Remember Your Baptism, to remember. Remember the grace of God that pursued you. I understand if you were baptized as a baby that, you know, you may not remember the water because you were too young to remember it. But you know, as a Christian, you know the reality of God's grace in your life. And you can connect with the fact that God pursued you even as a child. At any point in your life, God's grace was pursuing you. And so this morning, we want to give you the opportunity to reconnect, to remember, to maybe experience for the first time a tangible representation of how much God loves you, how much He has pursued you, how much He wants a relationship with you. So we're going to take water from the baptismal font. We're going to pour it over the rocks. I ask that you come down the center aisles and then go out and back to your seat through the outside aisles. At the end, if there's someone that we need to go serve, we will do that. But I just invite you this morning to come and remember your baptism. Just like the children of Israel took the 12 stones and they had them to remember, I don't know, maybe this week, as you're driving down the road, the little pebble will be bouncing around in your cup holder. Maybe you'll put your suit coat up and in a couple weeks put it on and reach in your pocket and feel it. I don't know. This is not magic rocks. We're not trying to do anything crazy. Like, I don't want you to overthink this. This is just a tangible way for us to remember. It's just like God's Word. You know what? The Bible can be something we just set down and never pick up. It doesn't have effect until we pick it up and apply it to our lives. So however you respond to this morning, I just invite you to remember your baptism. Remember God's grace that pursued you. And allow the stone to just simply be a token of remembrance, that when you hold it, when you feel it, when you think about it today, that you'll remember a grace that pursued you before you were even aware that it was, before you had the epiphany that God's presence was all around you. So I invite you to come at this time and remember your baptism as John plays. The thing about the covenant is that when you're in a covenant, both parties have a responsibility. And so with this second covenant where Christ covenants with us, and as we learn about the church, it is our job to be His presence here on this earth, the physical representation of Christ. And so maybe this morning you've drifted far away. But I pray that as you reconnected with the waters, as you reconnected with the grace that pursues you and the covenant that you were baptized into, I pray that this week you'll begin to find ways to live that out. Maybe it's been a long time since you've lived your life for God. That you've loved someone, you've reached out to them. You know, a lot of times we can go through the church and we can do the church things and become very distant to what the church actually is. Christ has called each of us, all of us, in His covenant to go into the world, bringing hope, bringing love, reaching those. And so I pray that today that this will re-spark that for you. Bring that to the forefront of your mind. The water will be up here, the stones. If you want to come and visit, the altar, of course, is always open. And if you would like to pray some this morning, that is perfectly okay. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the waters of baptism, Lord. We thank you that you chose to use some tangible, simple, everyday things to remind us of your grace. God, the rain in the parking lot and some kicked up gravel could be no more than the bowls with stones in them, Lord. But you've allowed us to see that, yes, it's that simple. God, you took people like myself, Lord, people that aren't anything special. And Lord, you've allowed yourself to work your grace through us. God, I think that's the beauty of the sacraments, is they take simple, everyday things. Lord, you take simple, everyday people. And through your Holy Spirit and your grace, Lord, you anoint us to go forth. So, Lord, allow that to be today for us. Allow us to receive your anointing and your call, Lord, and your direction. To realize that when your grace is involved, Lord, it's more than just water and it's more than just bread and wine, Lord. It's when you're involved, it's more than just me and all my insecurities, Lord. Lord, it is anointed and is living out the covenant that you've created. And now, Lord, as we leave this place, I pray that you would let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen.